interesting topic today. We started, we raised the questions at the end yesterday, but we didn't really do it. But it's a Kells by accident, the show gig. So his, he goes to Gullis and his Rebbe goes with him. Okay. His Rebbe goes with him. Why? Because it says, V'chai Yechicha Imach. I'm sorry, not V'chai Yechicha Imach. V'chai.
Ooh. Thanks, boy.
Thanks. This sounds scary. Says, Hu Yanis, he'll run to one of these cities, V'chai. 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 V'chai, it says, do something to give him Chaim. To give him Chaim. So what's the Chaim that you're going to give him? So it says, is what kind of Chaim is he going to be without Torah? How could you really have Chaim without Torah? It says like this.
Life. Right.
What? Life, yeah, life. So the reader of the Rambam's take on it. Rambam's take is, second. It's like this. Talmud Shagala, this is Zion Aleph in the Seir Shnos Nefesh. Talmud Shagala Lari Miklat Megalim Rabo Imo. Okay, Talmud goes to Gala, so he brings his, he sends his Rebbe also. Shenemar V'chai, Asalo Kadesha Yechia, you do for him that he'll live. V'chaye Balei Chachma Umvaksheha Belo Talmud. The life of those Balei Chachma without, and those who seek out Chachma without learning, without Talmud, Kemisa Chashuvim. It's like that. Okay, it's like that. So since it says you have to send Torah Miklat V'chai, so he needs Torah. He's a Baal of Chachma, and he needs Torah, otherwise it's not V'chai, it's like death. So you're not really giving him V'chai, so since you have to give him V'chai, so how's he supposed to learn? So it's says he's a Rebbe. And the Rebbe says, aye, why can't he learn from some other Rebbe there? So the Gemara says, look, a person can't isn't Zochet to learn from any Rebbe. It's not so simple to learn from any Rebbe. Guy has his Rebbe, so he needs his Rebbe. So it's amazing, and then it says similarly, it says Uchein Harav Shagala. If a Rav goes to Galus, Megalim Yeshiva Soimo. His Yeshiva goes to Galus with him. He has all Yeshiva. So what's amazing is that it's hard to understand. You understand one a guy kills Bishogeg, and now his Rebbe has to go to Galus. First of all, what about his Rebbe's other Talmidim? The rest of Yeshiva, it's not there for that, you know. And even if there's no other Talmidim. I mean, what does the Rebbe have to do? It's not his fault. I mean, why is it's not fair? Like, what's the sense of sending the Rebbe to Galus? The Rebbe didn't kill B'shogeg. Talmud killed B'shogeg. So, look, I understand you want to say that the Talmud, B'chai, all that, but it just sounds like a little bit far-fetched, the whole thing. It's like hard to believe that it's actually the halacha. You know? Although it sounds like a nice drash, but this is a halacha. Imagine such a thing. Imagine a guy in Yeshiva goes to Galus. Kills B'shogeg and then Pesach kills with him, moves to Galus, that's it for the rest of his life till the Kohen Gadol goes out. I mean, sounds crazy, right? It's, sounds like a crazy outcome, right? So, yeah. It says, Behuni Yonah, so he goes to one of the cities and he gets life.
Right.
So it says, what does that mean? So to the Limud, well, you have to give him life. So what's life? Life is Torah.
Right.
I mean, the Rambam's drash is, he's expanding on it that if you don't give him Torah, it's like death. You know, but I mean, the point is pshat. I mean, you don't have to go as far as the Rambam. You can just say, look, what is it? It's a limud that you give him real chias. Real life is not just to give him, it's not just to give him, you know, shelter from the Goldam, but it's to give him real life. Chai, real chias. Real chayim is to give him Torah. So you give him his Rebbe with him. Yeah. I don't think the Goldam is going to be able to kill the Rebbe. So Rebbe didn't kill the Shogeg, but at the same time it's a mitzvah, it's a halacha. I mean, there's a mitzvah to go to Galus. If Chai goes, he's going to Galus. So it seems to be the halacha is he has to go to Galus, and Rebbe presumably is a shomer halacha, presumably he'd have to go. You know, like what jurisdiction is there for any mitzvah? I mean, whatever, it's a mitzvah, that's a halacha. It just sounds like a far out, hard to believe halacha. It's hard to believe it actually happens, but at the same time I don't see anyone giving disclaimers. I saw someone saying it depends. If he does the other Talmidim, it's not right, because then he said take him away from all the other Talmidim. So I think, I don't know, I saw someone somewhere. But it's not a simple pshat, it doesn't say anything like that. Gemara doesn't say like that. The Gemara then goes like this. Matt's saying a point is that, what about maybe it's an onesh for the Rebbe somehow? Okay, so that's the thing we should do. So let's look at the Gemara, the next point in the Gemara. It says, because of this, you see, a person shouldn't teach a Talmud Sheino Hagam. You shouldn't teach Torah to a Talmud who's not appropriate, who's not a proper Talmud. Okay? Mikan, that's what Rezira says. Mikan, from this halacha, you deduce that a person shouldn't teach a Talmud Sheino Hagam. you shouldn't teach a bad Talmud, because it says Rashi explains, because the Gemara says that the person who kills a shogeg is usually a Rasha, and therefore if you're teaching a Talmud as a Rasha, so then it's a good chance, or he may come to kill the shogeg and he may go to Galus, he may have to go to Galus. So don't teach Talmud Shein Hagun, because you may end up in Galus.
So practical.
Yeah, practical. Sounds good. It's advice, by the way, from here you learn out that you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagun. Right, be careful. Be careful who you teach. You may end up in Galus. Okay, so I think we should look into this whole thing altogether, because I think it's a good approach, what Shlomo was saying. Maybe it has something to do with the Rebbe. Because at the same time, what's the sense of sending the Rebbe to Galus? So maybe the Rebbe is doing something wrong. So that Gemara kind of indicates maybe the Rebbe is doing something wrong, because you see he's teaching this guy. So look, it's not clear why teaching the Talmud Shein is leading you to go to Galus, but at least it opens up the door. Just saying that the Rebbe is somewhat deservant or somewhat, you know, responsible, something like that. So let's look into this halacha of teaching Talmud Shein Hagun. Okay, we'll digress a little bit, and then hopefully we'll land on our feet, and then maybe we'll be able to open up our sugya a little bit. Okay, hopefully, not being optimistic here. Okay, so let me first read you the Rambam on Talmud Shein Hagun, and then we'll look back at the source, the Gemara. Okay. So the Rambam says like this. It's the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalid, Halacha Aleph. And it's a surprising halacha. Not, it wouldn't be very popular nowadays. But in Melamdim Divrei Torah El Talmud Hagun Na Ebemaisav. You don't teach the words of Torah, but to a Talmud who's Hagun, proper, not pleasant in his actions. O Latam, or to a simpleton, just a plain person. But if the guy is going in a bad path, you bring him back to the good. And you direct him on a straight path. And you check him. And only after you do all that, after you bring him to the good, and you bring him on the straight path, and you check him. Check him out. Then you bring him into the base madrash. And teach him Torah. You don't teach him Torah when he's on a bad path. First you bring him back to the right path. Through other methods, I guess. Most are a Torah idea, you know, trying to be Machzor and Juba. You bring him on the right path, you show him the right path, you check him to make sure he's back on the right path, and only then you teach him Torah. Okay? It's interesting. You think, what's the big deal? Teach him Torah. Maybe that'll bring him to the bath, right? But I don't think this is popular. People, right? There's all kinds of things. Teaching people Torah, it seems to be, you know. And it's just like this. Is it a big deal if I teach him Torah? Amru Chachamim. Kal Hashomel Talmud Sheino Hagun. Anyone who teaches the Talmud is not proper. Ki ilu zarak even lamarkolas. As if he throws a rock at Markolas. Markolas is another of the Zara, which they used to serve it by throwing rocks at it. That was the method of serving it. Okay? I think they say it's like mercury or something like that. They used to throw rocks at it. That was the method of serving it. And that was the way they did it. So if you teach a Talmud Shein Hagun, it's like you're throwing a rock at Makolas, which is a bazaar. Pretty steep. No small accusation. Shenemar kitzror even b'margama kein nosin l'ksil kavod. It's like throwing a rock to a margama is so too is giving to a ksil, fool, kavod. Giving kavod to a fool. So you're giving, teaching Torah is like you're giving him kavod. And so giving him kavod by teaching him Torah is like throwing a rock at the us. V'in kavod ala Torah shenemar kavod chacham yinchalu. Kavod will be inherited by Chachamim. So Kavod is a reference to Torah. Okay? And it says, V'chein harav she'en ho'lech derech tova. Also, Rebbe is not going derech tova. Af pi she'chachem gadolu v'chalam shichem lo. Even his big Chacham, everyone needs him. Ein eslam de memenu. You can't learn from him. Ad she'achsan utav. Until you go to this tshuva. Okay, it says, Amru Chacham, Am Shenemar. Ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das v'sorei yivakshem mifihu. Malach Hashem Tzvakasu. Because the lips of the Kohen guard knowledge, and the Torah you should seek out from his mouth, because he's like a Malach Hashem. It says, Amr Chachamim, Doma HaRav L'Malach Hashem Tzavakos, if the Rav is like a Malach Hashem, Torah Yivakshu Mepiv, he says, should search out Torah for him. Im Lav, Al Yivakshu Tom Piv. And if not, if he's not a good person, then don't seek out Torah. Even though he's a big Chacham, still. You can't get Torah from him. Okay, so let's focus on the first part. So the halacha is you can't teach this Talmud Chain argument. Not allowed to teach from Torah. And if you do, it's like you're throwing a rock at Marcolus. Bad. Okay? So it turns out it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in the Kulan. Kofalmi Gemara Aleph. And it's worse. There's two statements of Hazal. One of them says, Kol Hashonah Talmud Chain Ohagun Nafal Beganim. Anyone who teaches Talmud Shein Hagen falls in Ganim. Shenemar kol choshef tamon letzfunav tochlo eish lo nofach yirasarid ba'ala. Okay, fine. So it's a limud is that he's like right? Two different limud. One says that he's like nofal b'ganim, he falls in Ganim. The other one says that he's like throwing a rock to Marcolus. Either of which sounds very good. Right? Pretty bad. Right? Which is pretty steep. You wouldn't think of this as such a terrible sin. It's hard to understand what the sin is altogether, but even if it's not the right thing, you wouldn't think it gives you Ganim. Right? Rashi, the door given to Marcolus. Zuhi Avodasa. That's the Avoda of Marcolus. Right? Okay.
Excuse me. Where are we in the Gemara?
Here's the question. What's the big deal about teaching Talmud Shein Hagen? And only that, it sounds like a big deal, right? Now, our Gemara says, oh, why shouldn't you teach Talmud Shein Hagen? Because maybe you can end up in Golos one day. Maybe he's going to kill him. Right? It sounds, what do you mean? That's Mekan. From here you learn that. You shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagen. What do you mean? Don't teach Talmud Shein Hagen because it's like throwing a rock at Marcolus. And it's like, oh, you're going to go to Ganim. Tell me you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagen because I'll end up in Golos. That's why you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagen. It's a terrible affair to teach Talmud Shein Hagen. Funny to me, Khan, from here you learn out that you shouldn't teach Talmud Chain Hagen. Sounds a little strange. Right? The Gemara says if Talmud kills, he goes to Galos, Rebbe goes with him. Talmud Rav Zera, Mikan, from here you see that you shouldn't teach Talmud Chain Hagen. Adam says, well, from here, what do you mean? From there. It's bad. Seems to be a bad thing to do, not just because maybe you're going to end up in Galos. It sounds like you're saying you're actually doing a Rodzara, throwing a rock at Marcolus. Sounds crazy. That's that bad? That's pretty bad. What am I doing? So I'm teaching Torah, I'm giving Kabbalah to the guy. He doesn't deserve it. Fine. Is that so terrible? I'm honest, such a terrible hate. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal about teaching Talmud Shein Hagen? And how is it so bad? It sounds really bad. That's a good point. So I was saying, so what's the halacha? Teach Talmud Shein Hagen, he's going to Galus. Now what do you do? You go with him and teach him Torah? Sounds like the whole thing is, the whole problem is, he's just saying, you see me, you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagen. So now why is the Rebbe going to Galus with him? To teach him Torah? But I thought you don't teach the Talmud Shein Hagen Torah. So the whole thing sounds like, sounds crazy. Good question. Okay, but I think for starters, I think our approach should be, let's first forget about that part. It's a good question, so I don't mean to discourage it. But let's approach it, and let's try to figure out what's to do with the Talmud Shein Hagen altogether. What's the problem with teaching the Talmud Shein Hagen? Why is it so bad? How's it like throwing a rock into, you know, and like all this, that kind of thing, and then see if we could work our way out of it. You know? That's a good point. So Shlomo's making a good point, is that the Torah, a person who has knowledge of Torah, is looked at as a person who represents the Torah. He's in the Beis Medrash. That's what he says, you mach nesim into the Beis Medrash. There's an idea, this is a guy who learns in the Beis Medrash. And the Beis Medrash is a respected position, he's a representative of the Torah. Now, if a guy is a lowlife, right, a cheat, a thief, or whatever it is, so now he's going to be viewed as the guy. He is a part of, he can learn Torah, he's going to learn, go to Shir, learn how to learn, go get some good svaras. People will look at him, this is what a guy of Torah is, this is Kol Hashem. Torah is a kavod, to give a person the mantle of, you know, standing up and saying, I represent Torah, that's a very respectable thing, and he has to be worthy of the position. And if not, then on the contrary, people are going to look at him and look down at Torah. They'll say, this is what a ben Torah is, that's a Kol Hashem. So really, we got you to the Rebbe, giving him, allowing him into the Beis Medrash. You're diluting the image of Torah. Torah has to have a high image in the eyes of people, and by you trying to bring him into the Beis Medrash, so you're like diluting the way people look at the Torah. Which is terrible. That is terrible. Chil Hashem is terrible. And now everyone's going to look at Torah in a lesser way. So now people aren't going to turn to Torah, aren't going to look at God in a different way. It's going to affect their whole relationship to God and the Torah. Right? That's good. It's interesting. Aaron's saying that Torah is really a system of Derech HaChayim, of perfection, of the good. By teaching Torah to somebody else who's not interested in living the life of Torah, so for him he's making it into like a subject, just like an intellectual pursuit. So that cheapens what Torah is. Torah is truth. It's truth. It's the proper way for man to live, and that's what you're teaching. So a guy who's holich derech lo tova, now you're teaching him Torah. So what's he doing? He just wants to become an expert because he wants to be, you know, smart, or he wants to, you know, have mastery over a subject matter. That's not what Torah is. So you're basically making it into a subject, an intellectual pursuit, which is removed from being truth, because he's not living by it. So in that sense, it's like it's like mevaz of the Torah, right? Like it undermines what the Torah is. Okay. These other ones sounds a little better. Like no saying like seal covered. Giving cover to a fool.
The reason given by Rashi.
The one other idea I thought I had is, I mean, it's hard to know. There could be different things in Talmud Shinagan. But another thing I thought is that it is dangerous also. Because it's like, a guy who's a Rasha, who has knowledge of the Torah, could really go and destroy the Torah. He could go out, he can break people down, he could cause people to come up because of him, he could expose them things in the Torah to the world, and that would, he could really go on the attack of Torah. Okay, he could use the Torah to undermine the Torah. He could pick points in the Torah that, you know, go around to people and tell them Torah's not true because of this, Torah's not true because of that. No, it's just in general the Torah should be guarded, and the Torah is not, Torah Shebaal Peh is not meant to be open access. You know, Torah Shebaal Peh is meant to be guarded, and it could be dangerous ideas. There could be ideas in it which can be misused and could be lead people astray. So saying is to take a guy who's a Rasha and just give him the Torah, give him the method and the secrets and the whole of the derech of the Torah, insofar as he's not interested in the truth of it, he's just looking to, he's very reasonable that he's going to destroy the Torah. Right? That he could go turn around and destroy the Torah. So it's, the Torah is meant to be guarded. We guard the Torah. It's something which is important. And to just give it out to somebody who's not going to relate to it properly, just going to use it for his negative agenda, that's dangerous. There are different things, different ideas, right? So I don't know. It's hard to know what is the bad thing about it. But what's this idea of comparing it to Marcolis? Isn't that strange? I mean, all these ideas, but it's like throwing a rock at Marcolis. I mean, Marcolis is about the Zohar.
Which is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, really, none of these things sound like that. Like, even if you don't say it's a bizayin of Torah, fine, terrible, bad. But Marvad Avodah Zarah,
right.
Yeah, it just seems like it's going too far, too far, different. You know, I don't know, something. It just doesn't seem to be like an appropriate analogy. Clue. We have to pursue it, but it doesn't just say if you teach Tanshin and Hargan, you're an Avodah Zarah. You're like an Avodah Zarah. It picks a very specific form of Avodah Zarah.
Right.
So it's like throwing a rock at Marcolis. So that's interesting. Presumably that's significant, right? Just to ignore that would seem to be just, I mean, it would be nice to just ignore it and just oversimplify things, but it does say a specific form of Avodah Zarah, right? This is a form of Avodah Zarah. And what does Rashi say on that? Do I get rid of Marcolis? Zuhi Avodah Zarah. This is its Avodah. Throwing a rock at it. Okay, so what's the point? Exactly. Is that the idea is like Aaron the Marcolis, it doesn't mean you're just trying to worship the idol. Because you try to worship the idol, so it's like any of those. What's the difference if you worship this idol that way, or this idol that way? But I think it means It's a guy who's throwing a rock at my kolos to destroy my kolos. Right? To destroy my kolos. You throw a rock at the cross. You throw a rock at whatever. But that's a method of destroying it. But you're a fool because you don't realize this is the way they serve my kolos. So it's like you're maybe well-intentioned trying to destroy idolatry, but in fact you're really perpetuating the idolatry. Right? So it's a certain type of a sin. That's what Rashi says, Shazuhi Avodaso. I mean, of course that's a Savoda. Isn't that what you're doing? I'm saying, no, that's not what you're doing. You're not doing it because you want to serve it. You're doing it because you're throwing a rock at it. You're stoning it. But it turns out, little did you realize or calculate or whatever, that that's actually doing exactly the opposite of what you're trying to do. You're trying to undermine it, but it turns out you're really perpetuating it. Right? So therefore what? The Rav is trying, or a little more concretely, like Mark's saying, but it's a little more concretely, that he's trying to be machave the Torah, to spread the Torah, to grow the Torah, right? What's he doing? Why is he teaching him? Because he wants to give the Torah to everybody. He wants to say, look, the Torah's good. Come, take it, show it to everybody. Let's spread it around, show everybody the Torah, even that guy, even that guy. It's a common type of an attitude, right? Let's give the Torah. Torah's for everybody. It is for everybody. So let's just teach it to everybody. Hagdil Torah v'yadir, right? Good motivations. Very religious motivations, right? He wants to spread Torah. Habatzas Torah. What's greater than that? Right? But it's saying is ultimately it undermines the Torah and it degrades the Torah. And it endangers the Torah. You're misrepresenting the Torah. You're making a Talmud Shein Hagen to be a representative of the Torah, and that undermines the Kavod HaTorah. Or you're empowering him and allowing him to break down the Torah. You're giving a false idea of what Torah is. But all these different ideas. But the point is that you're well-intentioned. It's like almost like the Yetzer Hara of a rabbi. You know, of a person who's involved in teaching Torah. Is that he's getting too involved. He's trying to teach Torah, but he's getting carried away and he's not being intelligent about it. He thinks he's spreading the Torah. But he has to realize Torah is not just like a business that you want to advertise. You have to do it carefully. And you could cheapen the Torah. By spreading it in an improper manner, you could cheapen it and you could degrade it. So what it's saying is you could be well-intentioned, but it's not so simple. You have to be very careful that you don't cheapen. We don't need, more important is the quality of the Torah, the Kavod HaTorah, than the widespreadness of the Torah. Better to have a few great Talmidim than to have many, many, many not so great Talmidim. It reminds me of actually Sir Rabbi Akiva. Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim, and they all died between, he thought he was spreading the Torah, 24,000 Talmidim. And they all died during the Sefira, right, during, you know. And then afterwards, he went somewhere else, then he had five Talmidim. In his old age, he had five Talmidim. And those five Talmidim were the cornerstones of our Masora. The five big, mayor, it was like major, you know, major guys who are on every page of the Gemara. So basically, 24,000 Talmidim, they all died. So, you see, that's not in the quantity. It's in the quality. And you can't dilute the Torah. I'm not saying Rabbi Akiva is diluting the Torah. I'm just trying to show like there's an idea. The method of the Torah isn't just go for numbers. The Torah's primary thing is the emphasis is on the Kavod HaTorah and the integrity of the Torah. And if by teaching the Talmud Shein Hagen, you're going to deprecate the Torah, depreciate the Torah, give it over to the fool, give him the Kavod and allow him to be a person of Torah, that's not worth it. And he's pointing it out to show you an extreme example where just because you're well-intentioned doesn't mean you have a good outcome. That's what you're saying. The outcome could be terrible. And he's showing you a good case. So it's like, my colas. But it's saying it's terrible. So it's like, my colas. What's the point of what's on? So it's saying exactly the opposite of what you're trying to do. So too here. It's exactly the opposite you're bringing about. Question. What about Kira? So the way the Rambam says it is he doesn't say don't be Makariv. He says to do is, what do? If you reach out to him, and you direct him in a proper derech. So he's then he brings the Beis Medrash and teaches him. So he's not saying ignore him. He's not saying don't give him the truth of Torah. He's just saying don't bring him to the Beis Medrash. The Talmud Torah experience itself, to learn sugyas, to give him the like the tools of the Mesorah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's not for him. He's not ready for that. He's a bum. First you have to bring him back in tshuva. So you have to be Ma'anim in the Rosh Hashanah. You talk to him, you work in his midos, you explain to him. I mean, to a certain extent, I guess you're going to have to show him the Torah is true, and you're going to have to show him why the Torah is true and why the Torah is going to benefit him. So that's going to be, it's going to be a different type of teaching, though. It'll be more hashkafas, the Torah. Or showing him the ideas in the Torah and showing him why the Torah is good and how he should live his life in line with Torah. But it doesn't mean, don't give him a shiur b'av metziah. Don't involve him in the experience and make him into a Talmid Chacham. He's not ready. He's not supposed to be a Talmid Chacham. He's not supposed to have the keys to the Mesorah and to the Torah Shebaal Peh. First, he has to straighten him out. Kiruv means that. He's going to support this. Like, it's Kiruv is not going to be by just teaching him a lot of ideas. A lot of making him a big Talmid Chacham. He knows every daf from Bucky and Shas. That's not going to be a guy from him because he's a corrupt guy. You got to work on his Midos. You got to work on bringing him to Derech Tova. When he's Derech Tova, then you give him the Torah. But first, the first Kiruv is in. It's interesting. Ram says like this: Eim lamin Torah el latamid hagun na'ev b'maisav, proper, good in his actions, o latam, or to a simpleton. Guy's a simpleton, also you could. Doesn't mean you have to be a big Talmid Chacham. Guys, look, Torah's for every plain, a pashut, simple yid. Teach him Torah. Doesn't have to be a big Talmid Chacham, but he's not. Avlam hayav holich b'derech lo tova. He's going on a bad path. Corrupt guy. Torah's not for him. You got to bring him back on the good path. But a Tom, look, a guy could be a Tom. Every guy's a big Tom Chacham, and you don't have to. What?
He's a guy who supports
Obama. Yeah. So he has to be. He can't be corrupt. Torah's not for a guy who's corrupt. Torah's for. He has to be. But again, it doesn't mean that he has to be a big Tom Chacham. Torah talks to people. Look, he's not a big Tom Chacham, but teach him Torah. He'll learn. Every guy has stuff somewhere. He doesn't have to be a genius. Torah doesn't say that either. But if he's corrupt, you first bring him on the right path. It's interesting. I never heard of this like being applied. I mean, everyone nowadays, you don't take a guy. I don't know. It's interesting. You know? I mean, definitely, like in terms of Kirov, probably Kirov Yeshiva doesn't do this. Focus on Derech HaChayim, showing them the Mitzvos HaTorah, that kind of thing. Hashkafa, Masar. You know, I don't think it involves he's taking them to sit down and sit these guys down and start just learning sugyas with them. It's interesting though, because you would think sometimes the way you show them the beauty of that's what's interesting is you would have thought show them the beauty of the Torah, learn a sugya with him, move him. Wow, let him appreciate a Tosfos, and then that would move him. It doesn't seem to be that that's the approach. It seems like it's saying is if a guy's corrupt, that's not the Derech. Derech is not to overwhelm the beauty of the ideas of the Torah. You got to talk to him.
But if he is corrupt, he just...
Yes, it seems like the approach is head-on.
Right.
Directly addresses corruption. Not to just ignore his corruption and give him ideas, beautiful ideas and sugyas. It's interesting, because you could have thought that way. You could have said, listen, maybe that's what the guy Rebbe's trying. He says, listen, I know he's corrupt. What do? I might as well show him the beauty of the Torah. Maybe that will move him. Mm-hmm. Seems like you say, no. It's very nice you're trying to do that, but that's not Derech. You can't do that. You have to first deal with his corruption. You have to start with what he says. You machzirin oso lemutav, umanhigim oso derech yishara. You direct him along the wrong path. You show him the flaws in his path. You show him the ultimate downfall, why his path is wrong, why the Torah is a good path. To a certain extent, you're going to have to show him some ideas of the Torah. You don't explain to him why the Torah is good, explain to him why the mitzvahs are good, certain tamei mitzvahs, the hashkafa of the Torah, and show him, it's not how you're supposed to be ma'anim derech tova. So it seems you have to talk hashkafa with them. You're going to have to talk ideas, but you don't have to learn a sugya and a tosfos and go through these types of things. There's no reason for that. That's not the derech to get the guy. The guy's not going to be blown away by the ideas and be rasha. If anything, blown away ideas, fine, he'll learn ideas, but he'll still be the same rasha that she is. It's interesting. It doesn't mean you can't, but you have no right to use the Torah like that. You have no right to take the Torah and to do that to it. How to do that, how to accomplish Malsinus on the Lutav is a tricky business. And so you have to, each situation is a little different and you have to know the proper way to do it. But the thing is, don't just bring him into the Beis Medrash, treat him like a regular guy. Pretend as if he's normal, as if he's like just one of the fellows. and hope he'll end up being like, you know, proper guy. Hope he'll end up on the proper path. You can't do that. You can't do that to the Torah. It's the Torah. I mean, it may be well intentioned, but it's bad. Good question. So I don't know exactly what the problem.
It's just not the right way. You can like ruin the guy if you go jump right into Gemara. You're like, this, what do I want this for?
Yeah, it could be, but it seems to be is like it's bad.
You're ruining this guy's Judaism, maybe.
Yeah, but you have to show what's the harm. You have to show what's the harm. You know, the harm is that you're going to be harming the Torah. So I think we show three different harms. I don't know which one is the thing, and maybe you come up with others. One harm is that he's going to represent Torah, and he's going to be Chilul Hashem, because now people look at him, and that's bad. Now he's representing the Torah, and now people are, the world is going to look at Torah in a lesser light, because they look at him as a representative of Torah. This is what a Ben Torah is. And it's the real thing. I mean, I know they tell you that when you're a kid and trying to make you feel guilty, but it's true. That's one thing. Another thing is that he could now go and start destroying the Torah because he has a certain inside knowledge of the Torah and he could use that as a negative way. And thirdly, is it makes the Torah into just like a subject. The Torah is truth. Torah is not just a subject matter. A guy doesn't value it as truth, and you're just teaching him. It's just like almost like, here's beautiful ideas. The Torah is not just ideas. Torah is a proper, is a subject, it's truth. It's a reality. And to make it into just like something which you study, the guy doesn't hold by the Torah. He doesn't really value it. He's not saying, now what are you doing? You're just not giving him a subject matter. So it cheapens what the Torah is. The Torah is not just like a tool of just, you know, flashing, you know, things in front of a guy's eyes. It's a system of truth. And maybe there could be other ideas. I'm not sure. But whatever the ideas it seems to be from the Chazal are pointing to, it's like undermining the Torah. It's a kavod, and it's not appropriate to give it to the Ksil. It's not appropriate for him. I'm saying it's not a Vodzara.
This is an extreme example.
I'm saying is no full Begahanim is the first thing. That's saying what it is. It's a terrible thing because it's destroying the Torah. So Begahanim, you're involved in destroying the Torah. But the comparison to the Marcolis, I'm saying, is not because it's saying it's about Zara.
Right.
It's not about Zara. It's an example of a guy who's trying to accomplish something very good and is accomplishing the opposite. You know? Trying to destroy Vod Zara, he's supporting the Vod Zara. Trying to support the Torah, he's destroying the Torah. So it's like an opposite. That's what I'm saying. It's not showing you that. It's not an analogy insofar as the Vod Zara is concerned. Let's take the first thing we have to think about in our Gemara. The first connection. How does this fit into our Gemara? Pshat. Our Gemara says, if the Talmud kills, his Rav goes to Galus with him. Mikan, that you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan. From here you see, you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan because maybe you end up going to Galus. So what's our question? Question is, what do you mean? Teaching Talmud Shein Hagan is a terrible thing in its own right. This is why you see from here you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan because maybe you can end up in Galus. Sounds like a stretch, right? That's the reason why. There are better reasons why you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan, because it's Chilul Hashem, because it's destroying the Torah, because it's right. You go to Gehenim because it's like a Zogon Galus. What's the Gemara saying? What they're saying is Mikan that you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan, right? That's the point of contact with this Gemara. So let's see, maybe we should try to answer that. You know, and then move towards the other parts of our sugya. Trying to figure out is that it doesn't seem to be a reasonable step in the Gemara. Therefore, you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan because you may end up going to Galus. Seems to be like, it's true, if I teach Talmud Shein Hagan, I may end up in Galus, but it seems to be there's better reasons still. For the Gemara to say, this is why you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan, seems to be a mikan. From here you learn out that you shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan. I mean, why give such a backhanded reason of not teaching Talmud Shein Hagan when it's a primary yeser, it's a primary something you're not allowed to do? That's one question. And then the question is going to be to see if we could then use this at all to explain why the Rebbe is going to Galus. Right? I mean, that's ultimately the main problem here. What's the sense of sending the Rebbe to go to Galus? After all, he didn't kill the Shogeg. What did he do? So we're in a direction because he's also somewhat responsible, but it's not quite, doesn't quite pan out. We're still, you know, we still have to do that. So why don't we try to address these things tomorrow? Okay.